In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. With the theme of last night, that the Scripture often gives us simple advice, we see also more Scripture today that gives simple advice. But also, there are hidden meanings that we should discern. St. Paul says, be continuing in prayer. What could be simpler? If we measure our day, we should look to see how much did we pray. And not how many words did we say from how many books, but how much did we pray? How much did we seek God's face? How much did we present ourselves, unclean as we are, incomplete as we are, in His presence, for Him to heal us and to be with us and communicate with us? So how much have we continued in prayer? The world is full of a lot of things. We do a lot of stuff. We're busy. How much do we continue in prayer? He also says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. I've often thought about this admonition, because so many times it's not what we say, it is how we say it. It is the pride that we inject into our words. It is the judgment that we inject, or the stubbornness that turns people away or makes them angry with us. Salt, of course, makes things tasty, but it also wards off corruption. Salt was used in ancient times primarily as something to preserve meats and other foods, because otherwise they would spoil, since they didn't have reliable and sometimes any refrigeration at all. Sometimes they could keep things, you know, in cold caves or something like that. But for the most part, no refrigeration. So salt was an essential mineral. And it is today an essential mineral, shall we say, in the way we conduct ourselves. We must not speak in a corrupting way. You can say the truth, but if there is no salt in your words, then they are corrupt. And they are not true because of the effect that they have on people. I've remembered this many times as a priest, and many times felt a deep sense of compunction that what I said was right, but it wasn't the right thing to say, because it wasn't said in the right way. And I also have a little saying that some of you have heard: the best things I've ever said are the things I have not said. So this is also part of seasoning our speech with grace and with salt. Much of the time, what we think we should say, we should not say. This is a difficult task, to season our speech with grace and salt. What this means is that we are grace, and that we have the salt of incorruption in us. And yet, our daily lives show that we live with corrupt things in our life. Anytime we sin, it is a sign of our corruption. Anytime we're at loose ends, or lazy, or irritated, or anything else, that's a sign of corruption. So how can we bestow incorruption to others? And we're all responsible, not just me, not just a priest, not just a bishop. Everyone is responsible for giving grace to others. Of course, the grace proceeds from God, but we are responsible for transmitting it to others. He gives it to us in order for it to be given to others, in our actions, in our words, in our attitudes. How many times do we do this? It would be frightening for us to see how many occurrences there are in a day when something we said was correct. As far as whether it is true or not, or even whether or not it is the proper thing to say to someone, but because there was no salt in our words, because there was the corruption of pride, anger, irritation, judgment, indifference in our words, the truth of those words was not communicated. In fact, sometimes even something opposite to that truth was communicated. So we must be grace if we are to give grace. We must abide in the grace of God. That's back to the first point. We must be continuing in prayer. The gospel has some interesting things in it. Very simple in some ways, but really very profound also. Now, when he was casting out a devil, and the devil made the man dumb, and the man started to speak, it was obvious that the man was cured and was healed of the devil. People were in wonderment about it. That should be a great miracle that people would rejoice. Someone who could not speak now can speak. But those that were proud, those that did not have salt in them, that were full of the corruption of arrogance and false hidden agendas and all the rest, they were angry because they saw someone who was usurping their authority. Not that he was outright taking it from them, but the people saw that he was a man with authority, not like them. And so they said, a slander. With no foundation in truth whatsoever. None. He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, through Satan, through Lucifer. It's a completely unsubstantiated slander. This really reminded me of our modern day. I think it's always been this way, but now with the ability to put a lie in print, in 3,000 mediums in a matter of an instant, and have it be on telephones and on computers and on television sets and radios just immediately, I think it's more apparent in our day. Lies are propagated faster in our day now. And that is, I was thinking of the whole arguments about morality that are going on in our world today. Much of those arguments are where those who wish to do immorality are labeling others. Some would call, let's say, someone who believes in the proper Christian biblical understanding of sexual morality, oh, you are a bigot, oh, you are a homophobe, oh, you must have some problem in your life. These are all just baseless accusations. We see that all the time. We have to be careful to make sure that we don't make baseless accusations. Of course, that kind of stuff we're not going to do. We should be believing the truth about morality. But I'll let you know something that is rather shocking. Just because a person says that they are Orthodox doesn't mean that they believe proper sexual morality. As a priest, I have encountered it many times where people don't understand it. And there is a very liberal view of a large block of Orthodox Christians that would say that we should be pro-choice. There's another slander, isn't it? To say that you should stand against the murder of a child means that you're standing against someone's rights. That all comes down to the stuff that these people were doing when they were slandering our Lord. They just say things that are crazy, but if you say crazy things long enough, most people will believe it. The majority of people will believe it if you say things long enough. And we've seen that now in our society. Things that were unthinkable 50 years ago now are considered to be virtuous. That's because they have been repeated long enough. So we must not fall prey to this. We must be able to see when somebody says something that's stupid, like this slander by the prince of demons, he cast out demons. It doesn't make any sense. Our Lord shows that it doesn't make any sense. But it would be repeated often enough, and I'm sure many people still believe that. Because most people don't think about things very much. They just, what they hear, they end up believing. Especially if they hear it often. Now there's one other thing at the end of the gospel that is sort of a nuance. Here, the Lord is being slandered about casting out demons, and he explains how foolish the slander is, because, of course, why would Satan cast out himself? It doesn't make any sense. And if he is casting out by the devils, then what about his, he says, your sons, who were also casting them out, right? The apostles had been casting out demons. The 70 had been casting out demons. I think demons are, you know, they're intelligent creatures. They've gotten a lot more intelligent, or a lot more wise in how they inhabit people now. I don't think demon possession is any less than it was before. But they're a lot quieter about it. In those days, there was a lot of demon possession. It was obvious. Now it's not so obvious. But he says to them, if he with the finger of God cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon them. In another place he says, you know how to tell the signs, you know. You look at the sky and you can tell if it's going to be a storm. Well, here they can't look at things right in front of their eyes and see what the state of things is. We have to be careful. How much do we miss that is really obvious because we're blind? That's scary to me. And then he gives a illustration which is really not related to the subject, really. He kind of just adds it in. And this is what the Lord does. When someone asks a question or some point comes up, the Lord really answers in a way that is about the truth, but not necessarily exactly about what was asked or the subject at hand. He talks about the strong man who has armor and he keeps all of his goods and he's at peace. But then somebody stronger than him comes. And he says, his armor, he takes from him his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. In other words, he takes everything from him. And all those things he trusted in didn't help him. So what he's telling us is, don't trust in yourself. And what he's telling these people who are slandering him is, you are full of pride. You have a stench of arrogance, and that arrogance is blinding you, and you're really weak, and you don't see it. Every Christian should believe with all of his heart that he's weak without God, and not have any trace of this kind of arrogance. The Lord is teaching against arrogance here, not in so many words, but that's what he's telling us. Don't be arrogant. And their arrogance led them to slander our Lord by saying that he casted out demons by the prince of demons. Let us guard ourselves against arrogance. So the scriptures today teach us many things. To be continuing in prayer. To have grace abide within us so that we can have our speech seasoned with always with grace, and to have salt in our speech, meaning, of course, we would have salt in our life. That is, we would not have corruption. We would root out corruption from us, which is sin and passion. And we have seen how ridiculous slanders come out of pride and blindness because of pride. And that those people giving those ridiculous slanders don't realize that they are weak and they could be crushed like an egg. And indeed, their passions are crushing them like an egg. Let's go ahead and remember that we're weak so that we're not crushed. Because the weak man who cries out to the Lord will be helped and will become strong. May God bless you and help you in all things.